Hey, this is Brian Lewandowski, a.k.a. Wraith Veldrin, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Yo, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashikon Zelo. What's up, my peeps?
And I am Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Skunkzilla.
What you been up to, man? Did y'all have a good 4th of July?
Yes. Lots of beer. How about you?
We traveled out to Colorado and rode some horses, and all I did was watch fireworks. I didn't get to set any off this year, so that was fun. So welcome to the 62nd episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only Neverwinter Nights podcast. And coming up later on, we have an interview with Hall of Fame modder Brian, a.k.a. Wraith Veldrin, has released Sands of Sylveal 1, The Runes of Khalasaurus, and Part 2, Beneath the Hurlthorn, for Neverwinter Nights 2.
So, hey, on to the news. This coming weekend, the NWN Golden Dragon finalists are going to get together on an IRC chat on July 12th.
And awesome.
So if you get on that, you'll be able to ask all of your questions that you want to ask of the finalists for the 2007 NWN 1 Awards. And, of course, there'll be some of the AME panel on there, too, so who'll also take questions.
Yeah, I just can't wait to end up seeing all those nominees get together.
Yeah, that should be a good time. I was in on the chat that they had for NWN 2.
Yeah, we both were.
Yeah, you were there, too. Yep. It was a while ago, about a month ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time. A lot of interesting aspects were, you know, asking those folks that come up with some of the greatest creative content for Neverwinter Nights. Is, you know, just picking these people's brains are astonishing to hear their loads of creativity.
Cool. So that's going to be hosted on the live NeverwinterConnections.com server, the IRC server. The channel will be AME, and it will begin at 5 p.m. GMT time and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, July the 12th. So make sure you stop by and ask some questions of the finalists for NWN1 2007 Dragon Awards.
And if you folks out there have an idea yet of who the nominees are, go ahead and check out the AME link in our show notes. And they have an awesome video that they arranged of all the nominees listed that's going to be up for these awards for the AME show.
Yep, excellent video. So, we heard from Robert Crawford this week, FFFBJ, didn't we, Skunk?
Oh, yes. He's the fellow that's doing Aurelian Knights and immortalized your character in there as an NPC for Ashurkhan.
Knight Ashurkhan.
Yes.
Isn't there going to be a Captain Skunk as well?
Yes, and he's going to be your nemesis.
Oh, no.
He gets to drive all the good guys just angry with all these immoral crimes that he performs over the game server.
So FFBJ is working on a new NWN1 persistent world called Aurelian Knights, and I guess he released an intro video, so go check that out.
Yep, we'll be right in our show notes links, folks.
Also, we wanted to mention in the news the first NWN Vault Outfitters client contest has begun over on the Vault.
Ah.
Have you heard about that, Skunk?
Yes. That looks very awesome. It's quite the contest, too. They're planning on giving away some game codes for the upcoming adventure pack, I believe.
Mysteries of Westgate, yes.
Yes.
That'll be cool. Of course, I was reading that, of course, they won't be able to give them away until it's released.
Yeah. Well, this is how the contest is set up, it looks like, okay? this is the Neverwinter Vault Outfitters, and what they do is that you have to create, they get like a client, and you have to outfit them with some majestical goods for like you would in game.
Right, and whoever outfits them the best, I guess, according to the judges, will win, right? So I guess the order for the first client for the contest is from a barbarian named Karanath Groin Splitter, and he's a level 8 human barbarian.
Okay. All right.
So what's he looking for? So what are the contestants supposed to outfit him with? Looks like a one-handed axe, and they're also looking for a large shield.
But he gave up on two-handed weapons when a winter wolf ripped the flesh off his arm last season.
And Karanath also wants a suit of medium armor.
And he also needs something to keep his feet warm in the tundra home. Fur lining would be welcome.
And then for the final item, he's open for suggestions. So, hey, Skunk, you and Striker B have been busy putting together some game events for the Neverwinter Nights podcast, haven't you?
Yes, we hope to end up arranging a couple in-game days where all of us could hang out together, you know, some Neverwinter Nights podcast staff and some listeners, and just check out some modules that we haven't discussed before yet, and just trying to organize a time and date to get everybody together is always a task in itself. But we're going to use Neverwinter Connections to try to organize some of that with some of our in-game events. But check out our forums and check out the events listing. You can see that Striker B's trying to arrange a game day for all of us and trying to work with getting a premium module of Neverwinter Nights 1's Pirates of the Sword Coast game together for all of us to play. It requires... it allows pretty much any number of players, but... Figure on splitting it up in 3-4 sessions of 3 hours each. See if we could complete it. Yeah. But check out our forums, folks, if you're interested in gaming with us, and probably use some input for y'all from y'all if we end up doing a little slight review in our shows.
I was just looking at my diamond pack to see if it was in there, but I guess it's not.
Nope. Just like the adventure pack coming up for Neverwinter Nights 2. You have to go to the online store and purchase it. Just much like another game that we're talking about, like Tomb of Horrors. Uh-huh. Where, you and Jay and myself, we want to end up playing, and it's a shame that Michelle's busy lately to end up gaming with us. That's a module that's designed to be specifically for multiplayer. You could probably maybe do one player, but it's not going to be as easy and probably as rewarding as having the teamwork going through such an adventure together with others.
I read some, or when we were doing the award show, I think someone said that it's so hard you can't play it by yourself. Two bars.
And multiplayer is fun anyways.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, check out neverwinterconnections.com. Also, if you're interested in taking some online live DM FIDM training classes. This is where the tutorials continue after the DMFI 101 module, So You Want to Be a Dungeon Master by Carlo Juan. The times and schedule settings are listed up at neverwinterconnections.com. We'll be guest DMs together at Legacy of the North and at Argentian Regio, City of Doral. And I also have a awesome fella from Neverwinter Connections, the experienced DM, Roannon. He'll be end up being a guest instructor with us over this month of July.
Cool. Roannon's a cool guy. I like him. So, hey, guess what we got this week?
What do we got?
We got a mod spotlight. We haven't got one of these in a long time. When we first started the podcast, we were always trying to get module makers and Persistent Worlds to send us in what we called module spotlights, where they would record in their own voice, a little advertisement about their modules or game worlds, uh-huh. And then we'd play it in the podcast. Superfly 2000 over at the Moon Sea Nomads Semi-Persistent World sent us a mod spotlight for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Wicked.
So without further ado, take a listen.
Hello, folks. This is Superfly 2000, creator and owner of the Neverwinter Nights server Moon Sea Nomads. It is a role-playing server set in the Forgotten Realms. If you want to find me, try Googling for Moon Sea Nomads. You are listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Okay, now let's get on to some podcast updates. Hey, ooh. On the front page, we have a new link, if you'll check it out, to our freshly pressed, cafe pressed, that is, NWN podcast t-shirts.
Yay!
And get your women to fill up them shirts. Order them now.
If you remember in the last episode, we gave away a shirt, and Ernie, a.k.a. Noah 4, won, so here's your chance to go get your own.
I ended up chatting with some of the fellas from RPG Modding, and they were quite angry that they didn't get to win that shirt. They were like, it's rigged, and I was like, no, I was there. I honestly had no clue about the numbers that Trey set up, and He kept it pretty exclusive from me, so it was a honest, straight, and fair.
Who said we rigged it?
Tybee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's wanting to
Tybee over the Dragon Awards.
Yeah, he's angry. He wants to unleash a Legion of Doom.
Oh yeah, I saw
for
that.
The next contest.
Yeah, I saw that.
He wants to win the T-shirt.
Yeah, I saw that in the in the comments. Well, oh. we'll have a. Hold your panties, Tybee. We'll have another contest in June and July. Actually, I'll do that in August.
He's a cool fella. I've been talking to him over there, and I think he's gonna pull through with that Legion of Doom and try to win that T-shirt.
Okay. Hey, also we've added some links to some Neverwinter Night games over on the Amazon.com on our front page. So whenever you're ready to order your next NWN game, please come over to the podcast site and click on that link, and it'll take you to Amazon, and you'll help support the site by doing so. And, hey, you're buying the game. Doesn't really matter where you buy it from, right?
Hey, if you're going to recommend a place to get it from for your friends, tell them to come to the Neverwinter Nights podcast site and have your friends order through there.
Okay, so without further ado, here is Michelle interviewing Brian, a.k.a. Wraith Valdrin.
Hi, this is Michelle, a.k.a. Eliso, and tonight I have Brian, a.k.a. Wraith Valdrin, who has the release of Sansa Soul of Hill 1, The Runes of Khazatharis, and Part 2, Beneath the Heliform. Excuse me. This module will be a four-part series. Both entries are doing quite well on the vault. Along with his module release, he has released several prefab areas to the community. Hi, Brian. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Yeah? This is a re-record, actually, and my fault. I had a file corruption errors, and Brian was so kind to come do this interview again. Not that you guys will ever know the difference.
Yeah, we could have never told them. That's okay.
Except for me saying so.
If they don't like this, then we can only assure you the first one was gold.
The first one was awesome. Well, if this one turns out better, I'll just cut that out.
Right.
Would you like to tell the community a little about yourself?
All right. I work as a programmer / webmaster at a Midwestern university. Let's see, married with one child and one on the way. My hobbies include equal time between Neverwinter Nights and the tool set, the Xbox, and a healthy dose of the History Channel, along with collecting useless trivia from various media.
Oh, the History Channel. You should start talking to Tiberius.
Is he a History Channel buff?
Oh, he loves history.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He actually posts on his blog, okay, another mindless or something. He'll post something about history, and he makes jokes that, you know, nobody actually reads it. But I actually do. I read it. But hey.
I would probably read that. I'll have to check that out. And it's got to be ancient history. I'm not too interested in recent history. That's not historical enough. I got to have the old stuff.
So when did you start modding, and is it exclusive to Neverwinter Nights too?
I started modding just about any time I got a game that would give it – that had a level design or a map design. One of the earlier ones I can think of on the PC is Warcraft 3. They had a level editor or some of the Age of Empires stuff, and I just loved to make the maps. I did some Radiant design for the Jedi Knight series, and then, you know, some 3D Studio Max and Maya and Vermal design for a virtual reality here and there. But for as far as Neverwinter Nights goes, I started with Neverwinter Nights 1 when it was released, actually with the beta toolkit a little bit before it was released, and I really haven't put it down since.
And you progressed to and now you were working on a persistent world in Neverwinter Nights 1.
That's right, yeah. I never really released anything to the vault with Neverwinter Nights 1 because I was constantly updating a core mirror, a persistent world that a group of us were putting together that never really got stamped done, but it was always out there and had a pretty good following, but we were constantly working on it, constantly adding new areas, implementing new custom content and hacks, and hacks used to be a lot more of a nightmare than they are now, so I learned a lot of hard lessons that I was fortunate enough to carry with me to Neverwinter Nights 2 that may have saved me quite a few potential mistakes.
Do you have any D&D history as far as, like, PNP, stuff like that?
Actually, yeah. In high school, a group of us used to play, but it wasn't exactly a very serious thing. We had a very high-strung, creative group of players, if you will, so it was more of a mixture of AD&D and ADD. So staying on topic, staying on task wasn't exactly in the cards, if you will. So, you know, sessions would last all night, and of those 8 hours, maybe 2-3 hours was actually PMP playing, and the rest of the time was God knows what.
So kind of like, let's storm the castle. Hey, by the way, what kind of car are you getting?
Yeah, let's go play the Genesis for a minute, and hey, let's run around, you know, run around the pond or something. Yeah, so staying on the game was tough. It was never really serious.
When creating modules, what is your favorite and least favorite aspects about it?
My favorite would have to be hands down area design, and I think that goes back to the whole enjoying the mapping, the map making, and the visual aspects. And I like to see what can be done a little out of the ordinary, using things for what they're not really intended to do to make something visually different. My least favorite would have to be the accounting side, if you will, making all the numbers mesh and balancing, figuring out, you know, how am I going to have this encounter be challenging for not only this class, but any potential class and any potential group of companions that might be with the PC at this time. Putting the story together is one thing, but making sure that everything's going to be within that target zone is probably my least favorite aspect.
For any new modders on the scene, and you've been pretty deep into the modding and the tool set for quite a while in both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, so what is your process in starting a module, and what kind of advice could you give to a new modder?
Take a look at what's out there so you don't have to invent the wheel. It's good to brainstorm, you know, get an idea of what can be done. Start with an idea, a story, and then you do a little poking around in the tool set to get a feel for what's possible. You know, sometimes I expand on what I'm doing by the area design. As I'm working on areas, things start to flesh themselves out, and, you know, it kind of solidifies my mind or gets me thinking about what else I could do. And then as far as, you know, take good notes for yourself, if not, you know, good notes for the release of the module, if not a design document, not necessarily a master blueprint, but just as a reference, you can go back and say, well, I said lock's going to be about this difficult, trap's going to be about this difficult, kind of keep yourself on focus. But, you know, even if it's a folder full of notepad text files or an Excel document, keep everything pretty well referenced so you don't have to reinvent things for yourself as you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to invent the wheel.
No. looks difficult. It's a whole perfect circle. It's the hardest thing to draw.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't even draw a straight line. All right. Let's talk about your first release, The Ruins of, okay, podcast tradition. Screw up the name. Kazatheris.
There you go.
Yes. Yep. Where did the story come from?
That was kind of a setting of a rough cut of a story that I started when I heard about Neverwinter Nights 1 before it was released. I decided to make this campaign and make this story. And I shelved it when I kind of fell in with a group of developers that were looking to recreate the realms as a persistent world, which eventually got narrowed down to Cormyr, which occupied all my Neverwinter Nights 1 time. But it's something I kind of blew the dust off of when Neverwinter Nights 2 came out, and I realized that persistent worlds might not be the way to go this time with the resource requirements of Neverwinter Nights 2, and I was looking forward to getting back to it. I wanted to take a look at maybe another world, an alternate creation myth, and kind of explore the theology and implications of the mixing of religion and magic. So that's kind of where it came from.
And on the second part of the series, Beneath the Herald Form, do you have all of your series mapped out, or do you create as you go?
It's a little of both. I have more of a series of events in a timeline that occur in the setting, and I have to decide how and where the player is going to be involved and if they're going to be involved. You kind of like shoehorning them in where necessary. Not every detail is pre-planned, but the overall plot points are there. Beneath the Herald Form was never really intended to be part of the series, but after a release of Mask of the Betrayer, the new content was kind of begging to be made into the kingdoms of Lirathorn and Harn. With all the new content, there was a lot of northern snow stuff and then a lot of elven influence stuff. And it was then I took a look at the grand timeline and decided to squeeze that mod in between Ruins of Kazatheris and Crusaders of Shalahir.
Would you care to share a little bit about the next two chapters that are coming up?
Sure. Part 3, formerly Part 2, Crusaders of Shalahir, takes place in the desert area of Shalahir, which is just to the east of Dalriad, where the first module takes place, and explores some of the dangers of the religious resurgence and intolerance, as well as kind of exploring the aspects of betrayal and ambition. And plus, there's a healthy dose of discovering the past civilization. Chasing the Golden Dragon takes place directly after that, and that's over in Orlin, which is a very Eastern-influenced kingdom or empire, if you will. And it deals with the player kind of trying to make sense of the revelations he learns about in Crusaders of Shalahir.
That's one thing I would really like to mention about your modules is the travel in such diverse places and what you have coming up also. It's not the same scene. You truly get the sense of a whole lot of traveling. Like you're really seeing the world in the modules. And it's something I'm looking forward to with the next two chapters also.
Yeah, it's kind of what held me back from doing a campaign map. I really wanted to because I got a pretty cool map that I threw together, but the map's almost too big for a campaign map. I mean, the font would be tiny if I tried to squeeze it all in there. So travel just kind of happens. You know it happens, but there's not exactly a map to go by, and mm-hmm. I just kind of fake it with advancing the time and date as the travel occurs. But, you know, for me, it's an excuse to do a whole diverse range of areas and not kind of get stuck, so it's a little self-indulgent that I not only get to do a forest area, a snow area, desert area, an eastern area, but it serves the story as well.
Mm-hmm. What other games, movies, books have possibly inspired your creation with storytelling and area design?
Well, video games, just about any kind of, Neverwinter Nights-ish, D&D series such as Eye of the Beholder is one I can think of from back in the early PC days. Of course, the Baldur's Gate series, Icewind Dale. Books, I read Chronicles of Amber and the Dragonlance and Lord of the Rings, and I love that whole genre. And, of course, the Cormyr trilogy by Greenwood and Denning back when I was working on the Neverwinter Nights 1 Persistent World. Movies, I wouldn't be a child of the 70s if I didn't mention Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and I think there are aspects of that creep into my psyche. So stuff like that.
Once all four chapters are finished, are you planning on anything new beyond that?
I'm thinking once I've kind of got the chapters out of the way and the settings introduced, I'd like to stick to the setting, but not necessarily the overall story arc. There's a lot of smaller areas of the map that, even though there's a lot of travel that I don't really get to touch upon, I wouldn't mind doing some smaller self-contained adventures in like the Isla San Pedos or the Xanthal jungles or some of the areas of the continent that I haven't really got a chance to touch upon. I might revisit those.
I like to do small adventures. I mean, I can really get into a really long, laboring story in a module, but you know those like 2-3 hour mods? I really can get into those. I think they're pretty cool. It's like you can kill, there's nothing to watch, it's Saturday night, not going anywhere. I can kill 3 hours and play this really cool mod. I like them.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm aiming for. Once I can introduce the campaign and the campaign world and kind of the backstory and people are accustomed to it, well, now I don't have to, you know, retell it with each little mini-mod. I can throw out these one-shot mini-mods and people are already somewhat acclimated to what's going on, where they're at, and what events really drive the world. And so I can do these smaller one-shot adventures and get away with it, hopefully.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ad-lib a little question. Has there been any custom builds or prefab areas or content that you've been implementing into your modules?
Other mm-hmm. stuff? Not really. I definitely look, whenever I see a prefab out there, I definitely look at least the screenshots. I don't usually download the RF or the mod and open it up and look unless it's really intriguing. But I definitely look at the screenshots to see other people's take on area design. But as far as other content, custom content, yes, absolutely. I've, you know, from the Builder's Toolkit to all the Robinson Workshop stuff to, of course, the Johnny remodels that I'm still foaming at the mouth waiting on. Yeah, there's a lot of great custom content out there, and that's been the big hurdle with this one. Is the first module I did absolutely nothing custom. The second module I dabbled in the override, and then eventually I went back and made a hack for it because it took a while to get the bugs out of the whole hack process. But this third one, I'm definitely going neck deep with hacks. So I'm making sure I do it right, at least in my own mind, that I pad everything right, that I've got things correctly named, and there's not going to be any conflict with future adventure packs or expansions. So yeah, as good custom content comes out, I'm definitely taking notice.
Is there anything you would like to add tonight?
Just, it's just a lot of fun, and I hope it continues to be as much fun as it has been for the past couple of years. It's definitely kept me out of the pubs and off the streets, so I want to thank you for that. And my utter amazement at the quality of some of the custom content I'm seeing coming down the pipes now, like the Beholder and the Drider, like the clay golem. I've added all that kind of into the storyline because the models are so great that, you know, the story writes itself when you have characters that well developed, visually anyway. And then some of the custom weapons are just absolutely gorgeous and really fill in the gaps and take away some of the cartoony look of a lot of the equipment. And then, of course, the tile sets and some of the placeables of Robinson Workshop are top.
Oh, aren't they? Oh, they're awesome. Oh,
just amazing.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I think the whole, you know, BioWare set the standard in Obsidian, considered it, or continued it, of giving us the engine, but letting us kind of make it our own, put our own artwork in there, our own as the community. And members like that of the community have stepped up and let us make the game, tenfold what it was to begin with. It's metamorphosized it into something that we never could dream when it first released. So it adds longevity to the game, it adds diversity to the game, and it makes things a lot more fun to build and play.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Oh, Brian, I would like to thank you very much for doing the interview and coming tonight and taking time out of your busy schedule. I know between being a parent and working and modding and everything else, it's fun to try to find those empty little moments that you actually don't probably have.
Yeah, well, I call them sanity breaks, and they're getting few and far between, but I intend to find more and more hidden time for them.
Especially with the new baby coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, good luck with that, and I'm sure that it's going to take you away for a little while in the whole modding scene.
It might take me away from the keyboard, but my mind can always wander, so I can kind of work out a lot of the plot aspects and details that I don't really need to be in front of the computer for, but I can just run over in my mind as I'm rocking back and forth in a gliding chair.
And when you get that sandy moment, you can jump on your computer and just, like, pour all those wonderful ideas that you've accumulated in your mind.
That's right. As long as I can remember them between those two moments, yeah. As long as I can retain it, I can just regurgitate it onto the screen.
Well, I'll make sure you go in. If you haven't played Sands of Solvehill 1 and 2, go in. Please download. Check it out. Play it. It is very good. I've played both of them, and I have commented and voted. And I'm looking forward to part 3 and part 4, and you have, well, all you guys blow me away. All your efforts and your stories and the free time that you've given me to play, I greatly appreciate it, and I know everybody else does.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week when we will have, I believe, a player interview that Dave is cooking up for us.
That's going to be really good.
And Skunk, we also have some sad news.
Well, what's the bad news? I don't want no bad news. I want good news.
Well, actually, sad news. I don't know if it's bad. I guess it could be bad. If you remember, we were going to be doing a Girl Gamer Roundtable that Michelle had recorded.
Yes.
Back in May, I think, is when they recorded it. Found out recently that the file was corrupted, so they did not get a good recording. One of the girls that was doing the backup recording, it didn't have all the voices in it either. So we lost that. So hopefully we're going to get that rescheduled again and recorded again. Michelle has posted a few times that she's going to try to get that back together. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
So we're looking forward to it myself. You know, me and Dave were trying to show our feminine side doing karaoke songs. It was a crazy idea. We wanted to get in on it. So I hope all you gals end up getting together again and redo the show for us, please, honestly, sincerely.
Okay, until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Oh, dear. Sorry, really. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you react when a player comes into one of your DM sessions and wants to be a famous Faerun character?
I kill them.
How does that make you feel?
When I kill them? Or when they ask?
When they ask. How does that make you feel?
It doesn't really hurt my feelings as much as it. I think it would probably hurt them when they get the rejection of no. As far as emotional feelings go, I believe it just...
Sing Soul Man.
It makes me roll my eyes.
Sing Soul Man.
Coming to ya! On a dust road, good lovin', I got a skunk load. And when you get it, you got something. So hold on, baby, 'cause I'm coming. I'm a soul man.
Okay. All right, I'm hanging up and seeing what that sounds like.
All right.
All right, stand by.
All right. What's up? Okay. Yeah. What happened?
I'm crying here.
What happened?
Listening to you sing.
Oh.
Okay, it sounded awesome. You didn't distort or anything when you sang, so.
All right, I was wondering if it was maybe the gain on the preamp.
Do this for me. Do you have a towel nearby?
A towel? No, but I got a shirt.
Okay, take a shirt and wrap it around the base of your mic, microphone stand.
All right.
Hold on a second, I'll be right back. Okay, still there?
Testing. Okay, I put a Christmas stocking on my microphone. Looks pretty cheery.
You mean over the microphone?
Yeah, but I got the pop filter over the Christmas stocking, and the Christmas stocking is over the microphone.
Well, so I guess the order for the first client is from Karanath. Can't say that.
All right. All right. Let me try,
and then you try.
All right. Michelle, we miss you. Miss you. Miss you. Miss you. Miss you. Miss you. Miss you.